This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters, I am back with another History Bite. Very, very important story. Very, very inspirational story. Before I tell you the story, I want to remind you to subscribe to my channel and also support our work by following the links in the description. So now to the story. The story is a very powerful one. And I want to start the story with quoting the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "La tahqiranna min al-ma'ruf shay'an walau an talqa akhaka biwajhin taliq." Do not belittle any of your good deeds, even smiling at your brother. So the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, told the Muslims not to belittle any of your deeds. Even a small deed can turn around and become a huge deed without you realizing. So you might do something good while you are alive and not make any big deal out of it. But then after you died, maybe 100 years later or 200 years later, that deed might come back to life and do wonders for you. I want to share a very quick story about this very point. There was a man called Fander. Fander was a Christian missionary working in India in the mid 19th century. Those of you who know the history of colonial India, you know that after colonialism, after the rise of colonialism in India, British colonialism, many missionaries came into India to convert people to Christianity. Okay, Fander was a German missionary who came into India, and in 1850s, he started to preach in the streets of the Indian capital called Agra. Right? He was preaching in the streets. He was challenging Muslims. He was very hostile, very aggressive. He knew the Arabic language. He knew the Persian language. He also knew Urdu. He had even authored a book titled Mizanul Haq, The Balance of Truth. In this book, he was arguing that Islam is false and Christianity is true. And he had some arguments against the Prophet and the Quran, and the list goes on. So he was challenging the Muslims in Agra at that time. And not many Muslim scholars were trained and able to deal with these arguments because they had never faced them before. But while Shaitan is working and preparing his people, Allah is also working and preparing his people. In the 19th century, let's say the first half of the 19th century, there was a man called Wazir Khan who was an Indian Muslim. He had traveled to Britain to study medicine. While he was there, for some reason, Allah inspired him to start studying Christian works on the Bible, right? There was a lot of criticism coming out at that time in the first half of the 19th century in Britain. Many people were writing works on the Bible, criticizing the text of the Bible, highlighting the corruption of the text, and many, many other problems, right? Wazir Khan was studying these books, and he knew that the colonial rule in India is supporting the missionary activity, and he wanted some sort of solution to it. So he was studying these books for knowledge. When he came back to India, cut the long story short, he realized that Fander is going around challenging Muslim scholars, and none of the Muslim scholars are accepting the challenge. You know why? Because they didn't know how to deal with these arguments. Wazir Khan had found this knowledge in Britain while studying medicine, and he was empowered by this knowledge. He met a Muslim scholar who knew the Sharia, who knew the Islamic sciences, while he knew the biblical studies. Both of them got together and they decided to debate Fander. And there was a historic debate that took place in 1854 in the city of Agra, right? In this city, the city of Taj Mahal, by the way, those of you who know Taj Mahal, the magnificent Taj Mahal, a very famous monument, Mughal monument in the city of Agra. In that very city, this debate took place. The Muslim scholar was Sheikh Rahmatullah Kairanavi, and the biblical scholar from the Muslim side was Dr. Wazir Khan. And from the Christian side, it was Fander. Now, this debate was hyped. A lot of excitement was created. People came along. Many British dignitaries, important figures, influentials attended the debate in person. And the debate took place. Lo and behold, to the shock of Fander, Wazir Khan and Rahmatullah Kehranavi came up with arguments Fander wasn't aware of. Fander was thinking that he's going to wipe the floor with Dr. Wazir Khan and Sheikh Rahmatullah Kehranavi because of the arguments he had mastered. But he had no idea that Dr. Wazir Khan had studied the history of the Bible thoroughly. And he was blown away, completely blown away by the questions he asked and the sources he presented in this debate. Fander was humiliated, absolutely humiliated in this debate. And this was a great news in India. Muslims and Hindus alike were very, very happy that this Christian missionary, this arrogant Christian missionary, was completely decimated in this debate. Even one of the British politicians or influential wrote a book on this. His name was William Muir, who was also an Orientalist. William Muir wrote a book on this very issue titled The Mohammedan Controversy, right? This debate was devastating for not only the British colonial establishment, but even the Christian missionary establishment. So humiliated was Fander in this debate that he had to leave India. Now, where am I going with this story? I want to share this story for a reason and wait for the climax. Now, after this debate, Sheikh Rahmatullah had gained fame. So did Dr. Wazir Khan, and they became very influential. 3 years later, in 1857, the Indian mutiny kicked off. Many Indians, they rebelled against the British rule because of its oppressive nature. And many Muslim scholars were specifically targeted as the instigators of this rebellion. Sheikh Rahmatullah was one of them who was targeted by the British establishment. He had to leave India for his life and he took refuge in Mecca. Now, Fander had left India, as I told you earlier. Now, Sheikh Rahmatullah was in Mecca. Fander then moved to Istanbul, okay, another Muslim territory, to disturb Muslim scholarship in Istanbul. So when he started to preach in Istanbul or Constantinople, the Sultan became aware of his activities and he wanted Muslim scholars to deal with him. He was told that there is a scholar from India in Mecca who has already dealt with him. And he heard the story of the debate. The Sultan invited Sheikh Rahmatullah Kehranavi to Constantinople or Istanbul. And when Fander heard that Sheikh Rahmatullah is in Istanbul, he made a quick run. He left the city and he did not debate. Sheikh Rahmatullah did not face him. The Sultan, I'm guessing it was Sultan Abdul Hamid, he requested from the Sheikh to write a book for the Muslims so the Muslims can use to deal with missionaries like this. These kind of satanic missionaries, liars, deceivers who are deceiving Muslims and Muslim scholars. So Rahmatullah Kehranavi decided to write a book titled Izharul Haq. Izharul Haq was authored in Istanbul and it was published, and Sheikh Rahmatullah came back to Mecca and he passed away in Mecca, and the book was forgotten. The book was forgotten. It went into libraries and no one really knew about it. No one was studying it. Then fast forward in the 20th century, there was a young man in South Africa working in a shop. Christian missionaries would come from a missionary school and they would bully him with arguments. They would throw things at him and they would expect him to respond. This young man from India, from Gujarat, with a hat, with a white hat on his head. He was a fifth grader. He never passed the fifth grade in school. He was very disturbed by these Christian missionaries posing questions, right? Lo and behold, for some reason, this young man finds a book in the storeroom of that very shop. Okay, the book was a translation of a translation. Let me explain. Sheikh Rahmatullah had written the book Izharul Haq in Arabic, and then there was a Gujarati translation made from the Arabic work, and from the Gujarati translation was made the English translation, which was found by this young man in the storeroom. This young man read the book and he became extremely empowered, and he started to use these arguments similarly, like Sheikh Rahmatullah and Dr. Wazir Khan were using in the 19th century. He started to use these same arguments against these missionaries, and the missionaries were blown away by these questions. They had no answers, like they have no answers today. To this day, they find other tactics to attack Islam. They deceive people, they lie, for the sake of money, to make money from gullible Christian masses. They will do anything and say anything to attack Islam. But when they are asked questions, they have no answers. So this young man started to debate Christians. and the Christians were extremely, blown away by him. You know, intellectually, this young man completely overwhelmed them, overpowered them. Okay, and guess who this young man was? This young man was Sheikh Ahmad Didat. So this little, spark left behind by Sheikh Rahmatullah Kairanawi as his contribution to the Ummah, without realizing the outcome, without realizing or without even imagining how Allah will make this effort of his a big, huge thing in the 20th century, to an extent that this young man from South Africa became an old man, and this old man became a real powerhouse for the Muslims around the world. He instilled passion. He drove this confidence through the Muslims around the world that we can debate, we can defend Islam, and we can do it powerfully. We just have to study. We just have to learn arguments. We have to learn our deen, and we have to learn the views and the history of other people. And once we do that, we are able to defend our deen. And Sheikh Ahmad Didat single-handedly sparked the Dawah revolution of the 20th century, which still goes on to this day. All these people later on who started to debate Christians, atheists, and others around the world are a product of Sheikh Ahmad Didat's efforts. And lo and behold, guess what? Who gets the reward? Sheikh Rahmatullah Kairanawi in his grave in Mecca. He wrote one book. That one book was read by this young man who got empowered, and then he came out and he started debating, and he instilled this passion and confidence throughout the Ummah. And today we have thousands of Ahmad Didats around the world doing the same work, inspired by the efforts of Dr. Wazir Khan and Sheikh Rahmatullah Kairanawi. The moral of the story is, brothers and sisters, do not belittle any of your good deeds. If it is a word of compassion, if it is a good deed, if it is something small, do it. Don't wait. Don't belittle it, because you don't know what Allah is going to do with it. You have no idea how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make it a huge tree. That seed you may plant today may become a huge tree in the future that may bear fruit. And on the day of judgment, you will be shocked. When you look behind you, Allah will show you. Look behind you, that army of people who were guided by your little efforts, you will be shocked. Like Sheikh Rahmatullah, Dr. Wazir Khan may be shocked on the day of judgment for instilling passion through this young man in South Africa, who later on single-handedly took this passion of Dawah to the world. And lo and behold, there is a Dawah revolution taking place today in the world. A lot of people are accepting Islam. A lot of people are studying Islam. A lot of people are defending Islam because of that passion. I just wanted to share this fascinating story. If you want to read on it, there is a very good article on the debates between Dr. Wazir Khan, Sheikh Rahmatullah Kairanawi, and Fander. And this article has been written by a scholar called Avril Cameron. Avril Cameron has written an article on this very topic. If you want to read an academic work on these debates, that's the work to consult. Again, subscribe to the channel and support our work by following the description. Thank you so much for listening. History Bites. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.